I can tell you some good news now. Not fully out yet, but I'll say because I'm on the horses. We'll be doing some shows in the future. We're looking at the perfect venue to do that, but DC Talk will live again.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Decent Christian Talk podcast. Enjoy.
Decent Christian Talk, episode 43. It is the beginning of season 2, and yes, just like Michael Tate alluded to at the beginning, DC Talk is back. This first episode of season 2 is about the Jesus Freak DC Talk cruise, the long-awaited one. It's been a while since they announced it, but it is finally here, and for those that are attending, and for those that are not attending, this is a preview of this wonderful cruise that's about to happen. We're excited to bring you this preview. We're going to have a lot on this show. We're going to have a look back on the Jesus Freak album. It's our DCT flashback of the week. Not long after that, we're going to be talking with Toby Mac, kind of about the Jesus Freak album, kind of what went into that, kind of the creation, what went into the creation of that album, and how that album shaped Christian music as we know it. We're also going to talk with DC Talk guitarist Mark Townsend. I got to talk to him last week at the Creation Festival. He's been playing with Reliant K, and I got to sit down and talk with him kind of about, you know, what's going on into the rehearsals and how those came together so well, and what it was like getting together with those guys again after all these years. And it was fun to talk with him as well. But before we get into any of that, like I mentioned before, we got our Decent Christian Talk flashback of the week. And it is with the legendary DC Talk record. We know it as Jesus Freak. Let's get to it.
The Decent Christian Talk podcast flashback.
In the late 1980s, Toby McCann, Michael Tate, and Kevin Max formed DC Talk at Liberty University. The group signed to Forefront Records after writing the song Heavenbound. The group would release their self-titled album and New Thing before releasing their breakthrough success, Free at Last, in 1992. After experimenting with a more rock sound on a track on New Thing and other songs on Free at Last, many wondered what DC Talk's next record would sound like. At the time, grunge and alternative rock were becoming very popular in the United States. On August 1st, 1995, the band would release their lead single from their new record, the title track, entitled Jesus Freak. The song would mesh hip-hop
and an edgy rock sound. The song almost immediately picked up traction on Christian radio stations throughout the country, and even some non-Christian stations. The music video for the song was directed by Simon Maxwell, who had worked with Nine Inch Nails. The video saw airplay on MTV2 and was a mainstay on all Christian music video networks. On November 1st, 1995, the band released their full-length album. The album achieved the highest first-week album sales in Christian music history up until that point. The album debuted at number 16 on the Billboard 200. The album was certified gold within a week of its release, selling over 500,000 copies. The album would feature themes of racial reconciliation, tolerance, forgiveness, and transparency. It would also feature two covers, God Spells Day by Day and Charlie Peacock's In the Light. The album would also feature samples from Brennan Manning at the beginning of What If I Stumble and the Reverend Billy Graham during Mind's Eye, men that were very instrumental influences in the direction of the group. Just between you and me, I've got something to say. Wanna get it straight before the sun goes down. Just between you and me, confession needs to be made. It convinces my way to freedom now. Just between you and me, I've got something to say. Every single track on the record was played on radio of some kind. All but one track went to number one on some form of Christian radio. Perhaps the most successful track on the record that saw play on mainstream radio was Between You and Me. Between You and Me is the only DC Talk track to ever make it on the Billboard 100. The track was also supported through a music video. The group would also make music videos for Day by Day and Colored People. In support of the Jesus Freak record, DC Talk would go on to headline the Freak Show Tour. Label mates Audio Adrenaline would join them in support. DC Talk would later release a long-form video from this tour, as well as the audio version on CD. Both the video and audio versions of Welcome to the Freak Show would each be certified gold. What if I stumble? What if I fall? What if I lose my step and I make fools of us all? Will the love continue when my walk becomes a crawl? What if I stumble? And what if I fall? The Jesus Freak album itself eventually became certified platinum and would later become double platinum. The band would go on to win many awards, including the 1996 Grammy for Best Gospel Rock Album for Jesus Freak, and the 1997 Grammy for Best Gospel Rock Album for Welcome to the Freak Show. The band would also win Dove Awards for the Song of the Year for Jesus Freak in 1996, as well as Artist of the Year that same year. Jesus Freak is widely considered to be one of the greatest and most influential albums in the history of Christian music. Its impact continues to be influential. The band released a 10th anniversary record in 2005. In celebration of the record's 20th anniversary, the band made the album available on vinyl in 2015. Rumors still exist today about the group getting back together, especially after the announcement of the Jesus Freak Cruise in the summer of 2017. As of now, we still have these timeless tracks to help us remember a special time in Christian music. Yes, Jesus Freak. I remember the first time I listened to this album, I was in the back of one of my friend's parents' car with one of those Walkmans. It was one of those giant CD Walkmans that took about an hour to kill a set of batteries. And you had to hold it perfectly still so that the CD wouldn't skip. But I was listening to that the first time. I remember hearing So Help Me God for the first time. And I was like, okay, this is a little bit different. Because I was, you know, I was used to DC Talk with Free at Last. And while there's definitely some elements of rock in Free at Last, this was definitely a new gear for DC Talk. And I really had no idea what I was listening to that first time. And just kind of looking back at that and seeing how well that album has held up over time, it's just a real testament to the songwriting and all that. I don't want to get too much into that because we've got a very special guest on this podcast. We're going to talk more about the Jesus Freak album, what went into it, and kind of how it stands up over the test of time. We've got an exclusive interview with the man himself, Toby McKeon, Toby Mack. We're just going to get right into it right now. Hit it.
Well, first of all, it's a great honor, you know what I mean, to be involved in a record like that and to a record that people are still interested in and talking about. I guess, you know, maybe even a little bit of a game changer for the industry. I mean, I still look back and, you know, can't believe I got to play a role in it, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a special time. It was a time when music was changing the landscape of what people were gravitating toward musically. Was changing, not just in Christian music, but in music across the board. You know, rock and roll had made a comeback, sort of, and it was raw and almost underproduced. You know, a little more organic, not so programmed. Coming out of the early '90s, it was a lot of programmed pop music, and all of a sudden, real instruments kind of came to the forefront. And Mark and I, you know, just really lived in the studio. I mean, Michael and Kevin too. I mean, Michael and Kevin, you know, just having that vocal arsenal of Michael and Kevin alone at your fingertips, they make anything sound great, honestly.
Right.
But as far as producing the record, it was in the trenches, man. Blood, sweat, and tears.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think there were a few times we were working so hard. I promise you, it was crazy. We were working so hard, so intensely, so much passion that, I mean, we looked at each other toward the end and just like wept a few times going, we have to call this thing done at some point. But the DC Talk years in general were very special. When you pack up a U-Haul and leave college life and head to Nashville and say, we're going to make a run of this together as friends, as roommates, as bandmates, and you climb a mountain together, literally. It's depending on each other, arguing, laughing, crying, laughing again. It's special. I'll never do that journey again. I'll never have the chance to leave university and sort of jump out of the plane, and say, let's go.
Or helicopter.
Yeah, or exactly, or helicopter. So it's special. And then, the songs, it was an honor to write, a lot of those songs, and with different people. I think people kind of think Mark and I wrote all of it. We're really, What If I Stumble was, I wrote with Dan Pitts, who, he's our manager at the time. We wrote it really on a piano at the True Artist Management offices, and then, Jesus Freak, of course, was with Mark Heimerman, our producer.
Mm-hmm.
Between You and Me was with Mark Heimerman and I, and then even Color People, I just wrote with George Caccini, who was a studio guitarist that was our friend. And he just came in and played that riff one day, that dang, dang, dang. And I was like, that's a monster riff, and I love that, and then wrote the song Color People to his riff. So there was a lot of collaboration. But Mark Heimerman deserves a lot of credit for sticking with it, pushing through. Joe Baldridge played a big role in the records as an engineer. He played a big role in making those records, I feel like when I listened to it, which someone challenged me to listen to it like a week ago, and I do feel like it still sounds good somehow. I don't know. I think it was a new day. Another reason it was a new day for Christian music is I think we put down what I call the shiny, happy plastic microphone holding guy down. We kind of confessed that we're concerned about stumbling, and we know we will. And the perfect little guy up there with a microphone sort of became a flawed guy that was just trying to turn people's eyes to the King.
That was Toby Mac talking about the Jesus Freak record. It's really cool to hear a kind of a, I don't want to say older artist, a seasoned artist, look back at some of his work, especially with a kind of a different element with him, because he's done his own thing for a few years, and going back and looking at what he did with the group, DC Talk, and just admitting, you know, hey, that this was a big deal. This was an album that set the bar in Christian music, and he's right. It does stand up well over the test of time, and just going back and listening to that album, like I said before, it's amazing. Hearing "What If I Stumble" and "So Help Me God," "Between You and Me," "Mind's Eye," just how fresh that still sounds today. And it's one of those albums that every now and then I go back and listen to, and it's definitely exciting that DC Talk is finally getting back together to play some of these songs on the cruise. And I don't want to get too much more into that, because we got an interview now with DC Talk guitarist Mark Townsend. I caught up with him last week at the Creation Festival as he was playing guitar for Reliant K. We talked with him about what it was like getting the band back together, what rehearsals were like, and much more. So we're just going to head right into that right now. Hit it.
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
That's right.
This is, what's your name?
Mark Lee Townsend.
And you are, as Kevin would say, you are 120 pounds. What was that?
on
the live album?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I think he said something like 125 or 130 pounds or something like that, which I definitely wasn't at that time. I was thin, but I wasn't quite that.
You had more hair back then, too.
Yes, that's the K-Max sense of humor, which is always entertaining, for sure.
You know? So the cruise is like coming up, right?
It is, yeah, the 11th through 15th of July.
I know you guys have been getting ready for it. How's this been for you, just to get the, you know, not just to see like Kevin, Toby, and Mike, but Sugar Bear and...
Well, it's been great. Show. I mean, it was never kind of an us and them dynamic with the band. You know, especially from Freak on, you know, it was always, they were never the kind of people that would say, oh, you know, you guys, you play the instruments, you stay on the riser, don't get off the riser. It was exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted, you know, the band vibe and wanted all that. I mean, and it's funny, even just these last specific rehearsals we did the last few weeks for this thing, the same thing, Toby's come up and saying, guys, don't, you know, get in the show, you know, be involved in it. Don't, you know, just stand back and play, you know, which we probably wouldn't anyway, but... but it was nice to hear from, you know, they just have always been that way. It's never, ever, as long as I've ever been there, it never was us and them, ever. I mean, they've always been just great. I mean, and even though they are, you know, the singers and they are the DC Talk, quote unquote, but,
right.
But yeah, they always made us active part of what they did, you know.
How is it getting back with those guys, Sugar Bear, and
amazing.
Guys that you made music with apart from DC Talk?
Yeah, amazing. It was like brothers that you hadn't seen in years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That either went off to college or, you know, or went away on missionary work. But, I mean, we got right back into it. I mean, there wasn't any...
No rust?
Oddly enough, not. I mean, like, we had originally scheduled for, like, the first band rehearsals, we had scheduled 5 days. We did four. We could have used two, I mean, at the most.
Awesome.
At the end of two, we had it down.
Hmm.
As far as just remembering the tunes, and really the rest of it was kind of spent more just kind of, you know, Toby coming in, and we just kind of tailored some arrangements just better for the set, for what we were going to do, you know, for the show, so...
Did you guys have like input into how the songs would go? And
we always have. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, those guys, a good example in this, when I first noticed it, was like Freak Tour, because if you listen to like the original version of Hard Way that was recorded, and then the Freak Tour version, it's completely different head, totally different. And that was because at that point we definitely, you know, the guys were like, and Toby especially was saying, like, no, you know, we need to change this. And we didn't make it fit more of what we're doing now. And at that point, it was like everybody in the band was just spitballing ideas. You know what I mean? And we changed just the chord structure to make it more of a minor chord thing.
Yeah.
So it had a little harder edge to it. You know, it wasn't quite so happy sounding on the verses.
Yeah.
But no, they've always been that. And yeah, like even now, I mean, like on the ending and stuff, I mean, it's like Toby and all those guys come up with great ideas, but they always invite us to kind of, you know, toss in 2 cents worth. I mean, it's interesting because obviously I've produced a bunch of records in the last 15 years. Otto has, Rick the drummer has produced. I mean, so, you know, they're working with a band full of producers in that sense, who, so there's never a shortage of ideas. And so at that point, it's like, we always want to cater to them, you know what I mean? But I think, you know, if they ask for an idea, I'm sure between somebody, there's going to be somebody spitting something out that hopefully contributes, you know? Yeah.
This may be a little too inside, but has there been any talks about anything after the cruise?
You know what? It's interesting. I had said something, I had made the comment, because I said, like, just from the get-go of the rehearsals, everything went really well. Just clicked. I mean, I said it was just like, you know, just we're a better band now than we were 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, just because all of us have played, you know, in other bands or, you know, played on records and been session guys, you know, just 15 years of seasoning, you know, and it makes a whopping difference.
Yeah.
And so it came so easy. It was funny. I was sitting there talking with Dan Pitts, who's our manager.
Yeah.
And I was saying, you know, I was just kind of saying something to the fact of like, man, it seems such a shame, you know, to you know, have this going so well just to kind of, you know, stop it at 3 shows.
Yeah.
And he didn't say anything specific, you know, about like, oh, yeah, well, we're going to do this or that and the other. But I think all of us kind of walked away from it and say, well, never say never.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With the initial indication of things going, you know, comfortable, I think that was the thing that was overwhelming with all of us. You know, especially when, you know, Toby, mine, Kevin, full in and came, you know, when we were doing full band and vocal rehearsals, and it was oddly fun. It was really
stressful.
Fun. There wasn't any stress to it. I mean, it was exactly the opposite. I mean, I think, you know, the guys were trying to be a little bit mindful of, you know, just going crazy, you know, all out on everything because they had shows to play that weekend. You know, Toby's still doing shows. You know, K-Max, they're all doing shows.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think we were able to, you know, just go completely crazy, you know, and screaming and everything else. But it was, you know, vocally and stuff. But it was great. I mean, everybody sounds great. It just, it works. I mean, on all levels, you know.
If all else fails, you can do another Zilch record again.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. You know, here's the funny thing. Me and Otto and Rick have talked about it immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the first things we said when we reached out. It said, like, you know, it's like, you know, you got 3 out of 4 of us. You know, Jason plays with Kelly Clarkson and stuff, so his window of time and involvement is just real, you know, he's booked like crazy. But with me, Otto, and Jason especially, because since we all, you know, do production pretty much for the full time for the most part, it would be so easy for the three of us to get together because we all have studios, and it's just like, okay, well, even if, you know, Rick's still up in Ohio, me and Otto are in Nashville, but it's like, it'd be so easy just to start a song and just start passing tracks back and forth through the internet, you know, slap some lyrics and vocals on it, it'd be really fun. I'm really proud of that record, by the way.
It's really good. It is.
I'll tell you an interesting story if you want to hear it about how the whole Zilch thing came about. I don't know if anybody ever told you.
No.
It's really interesting. I had been in bands from the time I was a little kid. I was one, you know, just for forever. And which is very different from guys that come from a side player background. You know what I'm saying? Some guys just end up playing in their church and then they jump to playing a side player. They don't ever become part of a band where you're trying to actually write music, you know what I mean? And it was funny, we were on the Freak Tour, and Toby had said something. He's always been a real encourager. I mean, that's one thing I'll say about Toby as well. Just a real, he's got a real gift for spotting potential. Like, he sees something, and he's a real enabler in the good sense. He sees talent, or he sees a window of opportunity or something, and it's very encouraging. He doesn't lord over it, he doesn't micromanage it, but it's just like, you know, kind of like with my work with Reliant K. Like, basically, Reliant K got signed to Goatee through their relationship with me, you know, and you know, Toby would have never heard Reliant K had I not been on the road with DC Talk, and I'd been working on demos with them, and Toby sits there and goes, hey, Townsend, you got anything that I might like to hear? And I played him like 3 or 4 things. And he caught on to that, and it's like the rest is history, which is odd because I'm here playing with Roly K today, which is really interesting. But yeah, Toby basically said, man, you guys are a good band. Why don't you guys do something together? Why don't you work on like an album together or something? And we hadn't really thought about it, but at that point, me, Otto, Jason, and Rick, we were just kind of sitting there going, yeah, it makes sense. Me and Rick especially had a band background, whereas Otto and Jason were more a side player kind of thing. And initially when they were talking about it, it's like, yeah, we can find some outside writing. And well, me and Rick had written songs for a million years. And so it was just like, let's try it. Let's get in a room and actually see what it sounds like. Before we just start bringing in songs and trying to duplicate other people's idea off of a demo or something, let's just set up and see what happens, which we did. We set up at Rick's studio back in the day and literally spent 3 days there. All of a sudden, a bunch of songs started popping out. It's like, okay, this is kind of cool. It's definitely not DC Talk in any way, shape, or form. Probably a little closer to power pop, like almost like, you know, like an All-Star United thing back in the day. You know, just kind of guitar, you know, synth, you know, pop sort of thing. Yeah. But yeah, it just, that's where it went from there. We literally just started setting up and jamming and just putting together tunes, and then next thing you know, we made a record and
a really good album too. Well, I hope you don't get seasick. I really appreciate your time. Yeah. That was our interview with DC Talk guitarist and Reliant K guitarist Mark Townsend. It's fun getting to talk with him, just kind of about the history of the band and talking with him about how some of that stuff came together for the cruise, and not just that, but kind of looking back on his time in the band and kind of his influence, honestly. I mean, he alluded to talking with Toby about signing Reliant K, and that was cool to talk with him about. And also, you know, talking, for those of you that don't know, the guys from the DC Talk band put out an album under the name Zilch. And it was a really good album. You guys should go check that out if you haven't already. That would be really fun to hear those guys get back together and record another album. But, you know, he's talking about the cruise, you know, is coming up here in the next week or so. He kind of talked about in the future, he hopes that there are some new shows. Never say never, he said. You know, for me, as someone that probably isn't going to go on the cruise, you know, I definitely hope that there are some more shows. You know, we're getting to send our brother Brendan Gallagher. He's a partner for our podcast. He's done some interviews for us. He's getting to go on the cruise, and hopefully he'll be able to provide some content and kind of an insider perspective when he gets back. We'll talk with him, hopefully. But we're not going to talk too much more. I mean, we've talked quite a bit with Toby. We thank Toby Mack. We thank Mark Townsend. We thank you guys for listening to this show. Hopefully it's been a fun preview for the DC Talk cruise. And for some of you that might not be going to the cruise, hopefully it was just a fun way to look back at a great time, and hopefully it'll be a preview of maybe what's to come with DC Talk. For those of you that are new, we'd invite you to check out our website, decentchristiantalk.com. You can subscribe to us if you log in on your laptop. Go to the right-hand side of the page and give us your email address. Every time we post a podcast episode, we will notify you through email. It is completely free to do that. There's also a donate button if you'll check that out and throw us a few bucks. We got a new season here underway. We got some costs that we have to help pay for. We would really appreciate if you would help us out there. We got our Twitter account, DC Talk Act 2, Instagram, DC Talk Podcast, Snapchat is DCT Podcast. For those of you that have checked us out over the last week at Creation Festival, thanks for joining us along with the ride. We had a lot of fun there. We've got a lot to bring to you there. We got some fun stuff coming up with you. Not to get too much into it, but next time we have an episode, we will be talking with recording artist Propaganda. Got a little homework for you. Go to humblebeast.com. And check out his new album called Crooked. You can check that out, album out there completely, legally, for free. Download it there. Or you can check it out on iTunes. The album was in the top five of hip-hop all weekend long. And it'll be fun to talk with Propaganda about the album and just kind of what went into that. And how he's written songs over the years with what's going on in the world. It was fun to talk with him. And that will be next episode. But until then, we would thank you so much for joining us. We are for the fans and by the fans. And we just enjoy putting this together. We'd like to thank Toby Mack, Mark Townsend, Carly Jones, Judah Jones, Brendan Gallagher, and Josiah Nathaniel Jones, Dan Six, Garrett Godfrey, and all of you for making this podcast fun to do. We'll catch you next time. Peace.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.